Go ahead.
All right. I will call this meeting to order at 6:06, starting with a quick roll call of all who are present. So I guess just going around, let's just get quick names for the record. Starting over on the...
Oh, yeah. Eric Destival, Assistant City Traffic Engineer.
Cheryl Hammond, CATSI member, Vice Chair.
Ramona Murphy.
Martha. CATSI member.
Kenneth Candy Schultz, CATSI Chair.
Tony Martin, soon to be former Assistant City Traffic Engineer.
Carol Hall, City Traffic Engineer.
All right. Let us review the agenda from the, first off, any requested adjustments to the agenda for today, or can we approve it as is?
Move to approve agenda as is. Second, Ramona.
Cool. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I did say aye for being in favor. I apologize. So passes. Any comments on the minutes from last time? Obviously was not here, so I have no comment.
This is Cheryl. I do have a comment or question in the roll call section at the top of the page. I'm wondering what best practices are with the city in terms of listing whether people who were absent were excused or not. Because in theory, we're tracking that, and that is information that's used. And I had a quick look at some other board and commission minutes, and some of them say excused, and some of them just say absent. Some of them note excused or not, and some of them don't seem to. So I'm not sure if I'm looking for a revision to the minutes specifically. It's more kind of a policy question, and I guess my preference would be yes for transparency. And if someone who wasn't here wanted to know, I mean, the minutes will speak for themselves if the minutes say whether it was excused or not.
I don't see an issue with adding that, especially when we get to it in the bylaws. There is some discussion about absent, so an excuse or not. So
I think it's reasonable.
Yeah. So just to clarify, no revisions to this one, but a change moving forward.
I would prefer for this one to be revised, but I could be talked out of that.
I don't think that's a huge ask of staff time. It feels like it's probably one or two extra notes.
And I don't feel like we would need to review them again.
No.
If it's just make that change and then it's final.
Okay.
Just
yeah.
Add that little note.
So then can I have a motion to approve as amended?
Motion to approve.
And I'll second it this time around. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Sounds reasonable. Then we'll approve with that amendment. Do we have any public commenters who are not commenting on an agenda item today? If you're commenting on agenda items, please do wait for the agenda item to come up. But if you have a general comment, this would be the time to make it. So I have two public commenters on here. Are both of you waiting for an item on the agenda?
No.
You're on the agenda?
I'm waiting for an agenda item.
But you are not? Perfect. Then may I have your name and general location within the city? You do not have to disclose your address if you do not wish for the record.
No, sure. It's Nick 40. It's West Salem.
Perfect. What comment would you like to present to CATSI?
This is about the operational policies for the city of Salem.
Sure.
So go ahead. Stand over here. Second.
Or yeah, wherever you're comfortable.
Yeah.
So you tell me
you'd like.
Where you like to.
Okay.
Come up here. So thank you very much for the opportunity to come before you tonight. My name is Nick 40. I'm the transportation chair for the West Salem Neighborhood Association. As you know, West Salem has benefited from a lot of meaningful planning work and transportation planning work, such as the Edgewater Corridor Study, Urban Renewal Plan, and Wallace Road Access and Mobility Study, as well as the recent related Second Street Transportation Project. As I'm sure you're also aware, West Salem continues to grow with attendant strains on our transportation system. At the center of our concern, and why I'm here tonight, is how residents can be more meaningfully involved in operational decisions on that system. Chapter 4 of Salem's current transportation system plan contains operational policy, but its governing objective is to operate signals at optimum level of service and efficiency. Pedestrian safety, corridor context, and multimodal trade-offs are largely absent. This is a mismatch with the multimodal values stated elsewhere in the document and does not reflect the reality of many corridors like Wallace Road, where residents walk, bicycle, and use transit alongside significant vehicle traffic. We know the city is already doing important work that goes well beyond what Chapter 4 requires. Leading pedestrian intervals have been deployed downtown. We understand progression speed reductions are currently under consultant evaluation there as well. That work is critical to enhancing Salem's livability. Our ask is pretty straightforward. That same evaluative framework should be applied consistently and citywide, including on West Salem corridors that seem to share mixed use, pedestrian active characteristics that justify that work downtown. We're not asking signal engineers to open their timing plans to public vote. That technical work should remain with city staff. What we're asking is the policy layer above those decisions, what a corridor is for, whose needs are prioritized, and what trade-offs are accepted, be made explicit and open to community input. That means clear criteria for pedestrian priority tools, including leading pedestrian intervals, progression speeds defined by corridor context and land use, transit signal priority where warranted, and the honorable acknowledgement of trade-offs with vehicle operations. The transportation system plan update is likely the right place to address this operational focus, but that process, starting this summer, will still take several years to conclude, and operational decisions are being made now. We ask that CATSE lean into creating a nuanced operational policy and approach interim policy guidance on corridor operations before that TSB update finishes. Thank you.
Okay. Any desire for, I'll start with other CATSE members, if any of you have a response or would like to ask our commenter to elaborate further on their comments? Any questions or desire for further digging from other members of CATSE?
I have a process question, which might be for city staff. Is this testimony something that we could get a copy of?
It was pretty
densely written, which is not intended as a criticism.
Sure.
There was a lot, it was very carefully written with a lot of powerful information. I think it would help me to be able to have a copy. And then I guess a second, thank you for bringing this. And off the top of my head, I don't disagree with your concerns, probably agree. And I guess I'm wondering at a future CATSE meeting, is there a way to turn this into some kind of agenda item that's either a presentation or a report or what the gentleman is requesting of an interim policy? I guess I would like to see us have some kind of follow-up on these suggestions, but I'm not sure what the best way is.
Sure. To the first one, I think if you're willing to send us a copy of the written testimony, if
sure.
That's something you can provide to
yeah,
staff.
I can do that. I'll have to do editing here.
That, then we can include the written testimony in the record as well. And then we can discuss how this could come back and what that might look like. We'll be sharing some updates on some of the signal timing changes that were referenced at the next meeting. So that might be a way to start that conversation.
Yes, this does feel like it's my responsibility, but this does feel like it dovetails into the ongoing, but I do believe coming to a close, discussion as to the role of CATSE going forward and what advisory role we will be having to the Public Works Department. But I would also be in favor of seeing how we can shape some of the decisions going forward. It's not like the West Salem Neighborhood Association is alone in having desires that they bring to us to have some of these concerns addressed. We hear from South Salem pretty much constantly with concerns and desires that they have for the commercial corridor, among others. There has to be a way for us to talk about a handful of these key corridors, thinking of Wallace, thinking of Edgewater, thinking of commercial, perhaps some others in other parts of town as well, that could potentially use a little bit more attention, even if there's not necessarily a more concrete outcome, at the very least some discussion that is something for the transportation staff to consider, particularly when looking at the TSP. And if there's something that can be done in the interim, I'm all for it, but I'm not sure that anything we could initiate here would move any faster than a TSP, to be perfectly honest. So that's my response, for what it's worth. Any desired input from, I mean, you already provided some input, Kara, but anything additional?
No, I'd make sure you have my email information if you want to share.
Okay, I didn't know the best way to get
this
revised testimony.
Yeah.
Okay. Eric, do you have anything you wish to add, or are you satisfied?
No, I think those are really good comments. I don't have anything, it's kind of a bigger picture question. Yeah.
Cool. Then, I think the only action that I'll request from staff is that this be concretely added to a future meeting as an agenda item for us to actually discuss and see what we can do with response to this one, and also looking back at previous comments that we've gotten from South Salem. Neighbor Association again is coming. Scans coming to mind immediately. So
I think what we can do, so we'll be bringing some of the items that were touched on in this testimony to you hopefully in June. I think there can be an element of that, of talking about how the TSP policies govern that and how something like the downtown signal timing work all fits together, and then we can take that conversation from there.
Perfect. Well, I believe the other comments is waiting for an agenda item, so I do thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you
very much.
All right. So, having moved past public comment at this time, I believe that we are looking at Chapter 5 and our bylaws, so I guess I'll open this up to staff to see where the process sits and what we're up to next.
So I have an update for you on the revisions to SRC Chapter 5. Prior to bringing that to you all last time, we did have the Public Works legal representation look at that. When it went to the city attorney, there were some additional legal comments on it. The two comments that legal had were talking about how we might combine and clarify the scope of the commission section and the duties that were listed down below. So that was one request. I think a lot of the feedback city attorney had will actually address some of the ongoing questions about those sections. And then adding some clarity around if we're asking you to function as an advisory committee and make decisions about things that might come in front of you, especially in that like appeal process, what would the criteria that we are asking you all to use to do that be? So the city attorney is looking for us to define that, which staff has not yet had a chance to do. So we need to work through that process over the next couple months, and those will come back to you at the June meeting. So more to come on that. I do think that as I mentioned, the feedback we got from the city attorney actually kind of aligns with some of the conversations we were having about clarifying those sections and the role. So I believe it will move us in the direction there was a desire to go anyway. It is just going to take another meeting to have time to gather all the necessary input on that and get that back in front of you for review. But we will make sure that it goes out with your packet in advance so you have a chance to look at it prior to the meeting. We'll have plenty of time to do that by the next meeting.
I mean, that all sounds reasonable. So I guess, what do you have for us at the moment? Because we are obviously looking at
That we can talk about this evening is the bylaws. Mm-hmm. So there were a couple different versions of the changes proposed in the packet. So we sent one version that was a clean version, just kind of no track changes, showing how it would read with our proposed edits. And then you may have noticed below each article that we were proposing changes on, we did include some staff comments on the proposed changes. There was also a track changes version included, so if you wanted to see exactly what was changed within that, that was also in the packet. And then we provided the bylaws as they were last adopted, which I believe we confirmed was 2013 was the last time those were updated.
That's what the signature date is.
So I'm happy to talk through this however you all would prefer. We can kind of walk through each of the articles. I can share staff's proposed changes, and then if you all have more that you would like to discuss in terms of changes, if you all had a chance to review and have specific comments that you would like to jump into, we can do that too, whichever would be most helpful for you all.
I think going section by section would be most organized.
Okay.
Let's please be expedited on this. If there are going to be significant comments from CATC, as opposed to dragging down the process too much, I would ask you to just start taking notes. And similar to the process we did with Chapter 5, please submit written comment so that we can maybe get through all 12 articles tonight and provide meaningful comment. I just don't want us to run late.
And as I mentioned last time, the bulk of the edits that we are proposing from the staff side are kind of one of two things. One, it's either bringing the language into consistency with what we are proposing to use in the SRC Chapter 5 revisions, or it's areas that over time staff has identified as being maybe inconsistent with how things are functioning, or we're creating unnecessary process for us. So those are the pieces that we have proposed for changes at this point. So I can kind of dive in quickly on Article 1. These changes to this were really focused on addressing, again, consistency between the bylaws and proposed changes to SRC Chapter 5. I will note here, because this is referencing kind of the scope and role of the commission, if that gets refined further through the coordination with city attorney, we'll propose to make a similar edit to this section for consistency between the two documents.
Any staff concerns with Article 1, or shall we move on?
I have a couple of, I guess, if there's sort of things that are editorial and not really content, would you like us to not say those?
Those would be something we can get.
Would you be able to send out a raw version and
yep.
we can send
we can.
Back edits that aren't worth discussing?
That
yep.
sounds perfect.
Okay, so if I understand, Kara, what you were saying on the last one line plus, which kind of just describes the scope.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably going to be revised to, so Chapter 5 is the leading document,
yep.
and then this will either repeat or paraphrase.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm not sure where it would go. I made myself a note here because I'm not sure what article it would fit in. I would like to see something in the bylaws somewhere that says that the commission's bylaws shall be posted on the city's commission webpage and shall be given to all current and new commission members. At least since I've been a part of CATC, the bylaws have not been on the website, and they were not given to me, and I didn't even know they existed until they were mentioned in the fall.
I believe this is my second term here, and I have not seen them in my... What is this, 5 years? It's been 4 years? It's been a while. So
I'd like to see that actually written into the bylaws.
Okay. We can identify where that can be. And we will be updating the webpage for it. We'd actually prematurely updated the webpage. And one of that will include consistency with getting those posted. As you've seen, most of the other boards and commissions do have them posted.
I don't think it would be remiss to have the currently in effect bylaws posted on our page.
Okay.
So
go ahead and post the old ones. Be because they're current. Sure, that would be great.
I guess any comments on the substance of Article 1? Article 2, please.
Okay. So Article 2 revisions to this are updating it to align with the language we added to SRC, specifically around the being reappointed after a one-year gap following the second term. So that was the only substantial change to this article.
Can that just be a separate sentence? Like a period after two consecutive terms, and then a member can be reappointed after a one-year gap? That's
yes.
Just a little nitpicky.
Any other comments on the content or substance of Article 2?
I guess I have another thing that I'm not sure where it goes. And I did not comment on this from the minutes because the minutes are not incorrect. But the idea, the concept of moving any geographic distribution of CATSE members to the bylaws, which was said out loud at the last meeting, so I'm not asking for a minutes revision, but I feel that that's not actually the right approach because the bylaws are how we operate, they're not how we are selected. So if there are any geographic selection criteria or representation, those belong in Chapter 5.
Well, I guess that my response to that, Cheryl, would be that the bylaws are something that we as CATSE can edit ourselves, so if our thinking ever changes, we can do this without going back to City Council. Chapter 5, once adopted, is more or less immutable. So that's also a frame of reference I might put onto anything that we're thinking about putting in the bylaws versus in Chapter 5. What do we want to have more or less set in stone for the foreseeable future, and what do we want to have the power to adjust? I would think that finagling the geographic distribution of our membership might be something that's more within the purview of us as a committee, since as our interests shift from year to year, whether or not we're focused more on a TSP 1 year, or we're just having more of a general year in another, I could see situations in which we would be shifting our thinking and wouldn't necessarily want to go back to adjusting Chapter 5.
I do think we thought that the bylaws would be the place to include something like that, and the recommendation would be to include it as a preference to prioritize rather than having it, because if it's in code, then it makes it a requirement, and another component here, too, is the application process, and do we get applicants from a geographically diverse
I will note our current membership.
So I think that was the thinking in where that lives.
So I guess, and we didn't really talk about this last time, it was a comment on Chapter 5, but it got kind of punted over to this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I understand what you're both saying, but the purpose of the bylaws is how do we operate? It's not how are we selected. And there are some commissions and boards have very specific geographic, and some just say to the extent practicable or something.
Yes.
They just kind of have a more qualitative statement about desiring geographic distribution, and it's not, you know, if it was going to be exact, like some cities do by ward, it could be by zip code, or it could just be a squishy qualitative statement saying that we're striving for that, and then it's considered by the committee that reviews applications, because the application does ask for your ward. And
mm-hmm.
So let's say we get flooded by applicants, then the selection committee could use that as a criteria.
It's true. I do imagine a city council goal is to improve participation in these voluntary committees. So theoretically, we won't be this bottlenecked forever. I also see Cheryl's thinking on this matter.
Can I propose that we follow up with legal
yes.
about where the correct place for that? I had noted that as a comment and a conversation that we have. I didn't include it in the proposed revisions because I wanted to keep that just to staff. And I assumed we would there'd be an opportunity to discuss it this evening.
Well, and particularly since revisions to Chapter 5 are on a bit of a slower track than you'd maybe hoped.
Yeah.
So there's already a pause and some additional work to do. So it seems like reconsidering this.
Okay.
And I'm okay if we don't say anything about geographic distribution. I just feel like it should be a very deliberate decision and not just something we ignore and forget about. And I guess I'd be most comfortable with, and it seems most practical to say, like a qualitative statement in Chapter 5, geographic and other, just, you know, other representation. And I will leave it there. Thank you.
I think as chair, I'll just take a moment to say I'd like to do a quick round of the three members present to get see if we can come up with a quick statement of consensus for guidance. I'll start as chair and say that I actually agree with, upon listening to your argument, I do agree with Cheryl's thinking. I would be supportive of that approach. Ramona?
Just at the very least a general statement rather than a prescriptive statement about the composition of the committee.
Yep.
I agree.
Okay.
I think you've got a consensus then from the members
okay.
that that's what we'd like to see if possible. Any other comments on Article 2? Well, I hope there's no comments on Article 3, but I will ask. Any notes on Article 3?
We are not proposing any changes to this. This process seems consistent with how other boards and commissions are appointing their timeline for appointing chair and vice chair.
That's fine. I work in an academic environment, so my calendar year and my academic year are always confused in my head. So.
Oh.
I mean, like, we operate in a calendar year. So.
The word calendar would
yeah,
be helpful.
That would be...
That's true. There's a few different definitions of year that are used.
Yeah.
I occasionally operate on fiscal year too.
Yeah,
there's
that.
I get confused.
Calendar year is an easy addition.
Yeah. Article 4, changes, please, from staff.
Okay. So this one, as it currently reads, says annually in January. And on the current schedule, the commission is not meeting in January. So. We are proposing the change that it just read at the first meeting of the calendar year. We'll make that addition. That the commission adopt a tentative schedule and wanting to make sure we're keeping this a bit flexible, recognizing that that schedule does not have to stay the same every year. The commission could change that, but we don't want to put ourselves in a position of having to reopen the bylaws if the schedule for meetings is changing.
Any comments from CATC members?
Might you say at the first meeting of each year, each calendar year?
Yeah, that seems reasonable. I see your thinking.
That's fine.
I don't see any changes on Article 5, so nothing to present there. But I guess any comments on the process for calling special meetings? To me, this feels sufficiently broad. All right. Article 6.
So the proposed changes in this are simply clarifying existing procedures. They are not changing any protocols or how the commission has been functioning, just some definition.
Any concerns from CATC members on this one?
No, it's helpful. Thank you.
All right, moving on to Article 7. Changes, please.
Again, this is edits for consistency with SRC Chapter 5 and hoping to just clarify here. So it's just designating who the controversial issues are determined by. So that can be commission director or council. I think previously it only referenced the commission. And then clarifying that if additional time is needed, that's granted by the director. And then we did not make any changes to the definition of controversial in this.
I will note that currently with the current CATC, I don't believe that there could be a controversial decision, as I do not believe that we could not pass something with three opposing votes currently. I mean, obviously today we couldn't, but I think even at our full seating, we are at, what, six members currently?
Five.
Yeah, so that might need some adjustment. I might actually recommend advisory just being non-unanimous, unless you believe that that's a little bit too...
That seems too strict.
Eight to one is not...
Yeah.
Would a one no vote be controversial? Three is, it fits with every number of CATC members that we could possibly have. Because if you have six members, 3-3, it fails. So is a failed motion controversial? I don't know.
I guess looking a little bit more big picture at Article 7 on this issue, and also looking down into Article 8, I'm seeing some internal contradictions between what it says. So the first, controversial traffic issues, you can X out traffic or change it to transportation, as determined by commission director or council, that defines how we determine if something is controversial. I don't feel like we need to put a number on it. It's already defined as determined by X, Y, or Z. So we don't need a number. And I find the number problematic because, the number three problematic, because if we have nine, if we're full and have nine members, if we have a 6-3 vote, really, that's controversial, 6-3? And then the other thing at the very bottom of the page is in contradiction. The action of the majority vote shall be deemed the position of the commission as a whole and carried forward as such to the director or council. So that just says a simple majority is a CATC decision, period. So
although there can be a minority report.
Yes. So I would like to see in Article 7 just deleting the first sentence of the advisory decisions made by the commission shall be considered controversial if three or more of the quorum votes in opposition to a motion that passes. I would just delete that sentence because it's in conflict with the paragraph above. It's in conflict with just saying a simple majority is a CATC decision. And I think it boxes us in. And we had a decision about the right turn from Roy Vaughn. No left turns on Roy Vaughn and at Commercial Southeast. Mm-hmm. And that actually passed 5-4. So in theory, according to the bylaws, that was controversial.
Mm-hmm.
But CATC and staff just accepted the decision and moved on. It wasn't forwarded to anybody. I think we shouldn't box ourselves in by this definition of three or more votes in opposition.
I do think CATC is capable of stating when CATC believes its decision was controversial.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that to a certain extent. We can make our own statement to that regard.
So would you follow that with a vote to decide whether it's controversial?
I think that's what the section below is intending to do, is define how the commission would define controversial. So the commission is a group that, so something could come to you and council or the director could have already identified this as a controversial issue, or the commission can do that. That is how the commission does that. I think to put the point, the or so that it's not just everything is, I think it's kind of back to the similar question we got about decision making criteria in chapter five, is if you're going to flag this and call it controversial, what would be the criteria for something to be controversial?
I have an alternative
by
proposal.
The commission.
Then the sentence doesn't say that. The sentence would need to be reworded to say that if three or more CATSE members find that an issue is controversial, like, it's not how you voted. It's voting for whether it's controversial. And because the way it's written, it's just simply the vote on the issue.
If it's six to three,
it's automatically controversial. If what you mean is that CATSE has the ability to define something as controversial if at least three members tag it as controversial, then rewrite it to say that. And I think I'd want to think about it. I'm not sure if I even...
I might have an alternative proposal thinking forward on Article 8. We already have something where if a person or group of people feels strongly enough that they wish for their opposing viewpoint to be forwarded, that they would put together an opposing minority report, that minority report itself might be the evidence of something being controversial, as opposed to it being a question of vote. It's if members felt strongly enough to propose a minority report to be included, we can consider that to be controversial.
Tony, can you share with us maybe an example of how that controversial, like when it was deemed controversial by the vote, has been? Is it just flagging that if it's forwarded to council or the director?
So the one that Cheryl brought up about the no left turn at Roy Vaughan, right turn only. I think I was absent for that meeting, and
that was a couple years ago, right?
A year and a half, maybe.
I remember that one.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin was here, and I think it was like, you know, the staff didn't really have a strong opinion one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, what do you think? You know, and I think people came to testify for it,
yes,
and against it, and, you know, it was like, and so I think because staff didn't have a recommendation and it was like a canceled decision, I don't think we thought it was controversial.
And
now if we had recommended against it and you had voted for it, then I think that would be controversial if staff was really for something and CATSE said, no, staff, we don't think you're right, then I would say that would make it controversial.
Yeah, now thinking back on that, I would almost say that was the opposite of controversial. It was an issue that had difficulty eliciting strong responses from either staff or CATSE. Everyone made their, as I recall, most of the votes were very marginal. People were just, they didn't feel strongly in one direction or the other, but people did eventually have to make a vote, so they chose a direction.
Okay.
There wasn't a lot of strong feelings in either direction.
That's actually not how I remember it.
Some
people were strongly in favor and some were strongly opposed.
But there was also a pretty good group right in the middle too. That just
yes, definitely some in the middle.
So
I remember sitting in that group.
In the interest of time, let me propose that staff follow up on this to make sure we understand exactly how that controversial is being used, and if, to the chair's point, if the options in Article 8, where a minority could be forwarded with the report, I think the report would also detail that staff was recommending something different than what the commission was recommending, so that would be covered in the report piece two. So, and then we'll also can check with legal.
So I'm going to suggest something really wacky. What if the Parliamentary Procedures, Robert's Rules of Order, that ends chapter 7, Article 7,
mm-hmm.
and then all the rest of that seems like it's
advisory commission process.
Yeah.
Combine those together and make them fit together.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Yes. Yep. I agree. Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting they're sort of split that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't say the same thing.
And the stuff about controversial doesn't really seem to fit with Robert's rules.
Yeah.
No.
Agreed.
I do believe that there's a provision regarding controversial in Robert's rules, but if we're then talking about what makes something controversial, that does feel more like a how do we operate then? What are our rules of operation? So.
Okay. We will confirm what the value of the controversial flag is for something, and then I agree with Tony. I think those just get combined to one, and it sounds like there's support for that. So we will have those conversations and bring you back in June some proposed changes for that.
I guess I did not read every word of every board and commission chapter, but I skimmed through quite a few of them, and I don't remember seeing anything like this in the others.
I think it's unique to CATC because of the role of the commission and because of the decisions that are being made. So
I guess I feel like CATC would not be necessarily having more or less controversy than, say, the Planning Commission, or you know, I don't see the need for it.
Okay.
And I do like the idea of using the minority report. If there's a difference between staff recommendation and CATC recommendation, or if there's a significant enough minority of CATC that want their voice to be heard more than just it's a 5-4 vote.
Yeah, we'll do some research on how it's been used historically, and come back with a proposal.
I guess since we're jumping into Article 8 anyways, that is the next place to go. So any changes that we haven't already touched on?
The changes that were included there previously were just for consistency with Chapter 5 and clarification. So if there's anything else we need to consider as we look at combining those, we're happy to do that, but there were no other substantial changes to that article.
I only have one comment myself, which is that I would recommend bolstering that second paragraph, make any statement committing or on behalf of. None of us should be speaking.
I'm sorry, where are you? Second sentence.
Second paragraph of Article 8.
And what was your comment? Sorry.
Committing or on behalf of the commission. Basically, none of us should individually be speaking on behalf of the commission as a whole. If there was a person that was going to have that authority, it would be the chair. I'm not personally in favor of that. Any other comments?
I guess just a minor clarification in the last sentence of Article 9. The chair shall be notified in advance, and members may provide a minority report. The chair shall be notified in advance of what? A meeting?
Good question.
A report? Doesn't need to be answered now. Just.
Yeah, I second. I would love to know some clarification on what the desire is there for process. That's a little bit amorphous. Presumably, we don't know that there's going to be a minority report until we're having the discussion and the viewpoints have been ironed out. So it would be rather unusual for there to be a desire for a minority report given to me in advance.
I think the idea there is that in advance of it being forwarded to the director or council, such that a minority report could be included. So we'll clarify the intent for that.
Yeah, and I also, again, especially thinking about situations like we are in now, where we're in a low CATC membership, I do also worry about a serial membership if those contacts are made outside of a meeting format. So cautious about how we think about implementing that. Or indeed, even if it's a large grouping of people that want to put it together, if they are all gathering outside and notify the chair, that could very well become a serial meeting. So that I would, I strongly recommend this being within the context of
it. It would seem to me that the if there were going to be a minority report, the people that were in opposition would let you know the day of the vote.
Yeah, that seems the most likely as well.
And then you've been notified in advance.
Yeah.
And that they're going to create
a report. Yeah.
And I suppose also technically the serial meeting only also has a stipulation that that really is only a huge issue if it doesn't lead to a public meeting. It all gets amorphous in the ethics, but if you're literally discussing your desire to have a meeting and then you turn around and have that meeting, usually that doesn't come back to bite you, though it has come back to bite folks in the past, I know, because, again, these ethics rules are a little bit finicky, and also it seems like the state ethics boards are getting tighter than one would expect. That's just my urging for caution. Article 9.
Article 9 is communication, so that is updates to the process, some of which is already happening and just was not included in the bylaws. Things like posting on the City of Salem website and notifying individuals and groups.
Any CATC comments on Article 9 revisions or Article 9 content?
On the first paragraph, I would like to say that the CATC website is improved. It actually lists the actual specific date of the next meeting, whereas before it just said, like, every other Wednesday and didn't have dates. So there have been some improvements to the CATC website, which I'm sure we all appreciate. And I guess, is there anyone on an interested parties list for CATC, or is it zero?
I'm not aware of it.
Right now it's zero.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean...
So it would be great on the website to explicitly say if you're an interested party who would like to receive agendas when they come out, please contact, tell people how to get on it.
My recommendation for Article 9 would be written communication under signature of director or an officer of the commission. I would also like that it would have been authorized by a vote of the commission, as opposed to just giving. I know that this is all kind of redundant with not being able to, well, it's not strictly, I guess it's not strictly, I guess it doesn't strictly conflict what's written in Article 8 right now, but I would prefer that if there's going to be a communication sent from the CATC, that it would have been something that the CATC would have voted on and not just something that an officer would have drafted put under their signature.
Yeah, is the word officer special?
There are two officers.
Okay. I'm going to suggest that instead of an officer, it just says chair or vice chair.
That's true.
That's
two
more
officers. Although I will also note that best practice in documents of this kind is to define something once and then use a shorthand for it everywhere else, so that if you make an edit, you only have to make the edit once. So if we change our number of officers, we only have to change the officer section, and we don't have to check elsewhere. But I also don't expect us to want extra officers.
There's not going to be a treasurer. Or
I don't know what value. I don't know what value either of those would serve to CATC.
Sure.
A second vice chair.
I mean, I'm sure I can come up with some obscure name for a vice chair. Give me time.
Lieutenant chair.
Sure, that sounds perfect. I do like the under chair actually.
The chief assistant to the assistant chief.
Yeah, no, these are all good for cooking. Article 10.
So Article 10 has its large rewrites, but it is largely addressing consistency again. And then I did split out the persons providing testimony in person from the written testimony, just to make sure that those were clearly defined what the process was for both.
Any comments on these adjustments to Article 10?
Is the initially intended to be like a sequential idea?
It's aligning with how the agenda currently kind of handles the public comment, where we have the beginning where we're calling for comment not related to specific agenda items.
Okay.
And
so
then
it is sort of
handling the, yeah.
So going back to the word first, because the word second is used.
Right.
So
Okay. First
sort of would be simpler than initially and more consistent.
As we're running up against time and we do have a public commenter, I will ask the public commenter quickly to provide a public comment, as I assume this is your agenda item that you would have a comment
correct.
On.
Yeah, so my name is Ben Freiback, resident of Ward 1, speaking on my own behalf today. I just wanted to say that it's really awesome that we're finally getting around to doing this after a while. I did have one suggestion for change. Under Article 10 is actually specifying when during the agenda item, before or after or during, somebody should leave public comment on. I mean, you didn't say it. I was a little unclear on when I would get to put my piece in. But it's been pretty unclear in the past as to when I'm supposed to talk. Is it after the commission votes? Is it before they have deliberations? Is am I interjecting? That's my piece, and I didn't see it addressed here in these suggested changes. So,
I would recommend that we have public comments at the top of any item going forward as our standard operating procedure, to make sure we don't run into what I almost caused to happen today, which is that our public commenter didn't get to comment.
I guess that's an issue we need to avoid, but if we start a topic with public comment,
mm-hmm.
if it's like the walkway in West Salem or the stop, the no left turn or, you know, something like that, I would want staff to have an opportunity to explain the issue to CATSE. CATSE members can ask for clarification. CATSE members can even start stating their opinions. That's how we've done the public hearings. I mean, that's a public hearing as a specific type of agenda item. I would want CATSE members to be able to weigh in with our opinions or figure out our opinions before public comment, because public comment could just derail a topic. You know, like the neighborhood folks who came over for the West Salem walkway and the no turn on left on Roy Vaughn.
So are you thinking after, if these items are present within the item, staff presentation, initial CATSE questions and comments, public comment, CATSE deliberation, CATSE vote?
Something like that. And if we were going through something like this again and there was a public commenter, it could just be a quick, like, Article 1, CATSE's done, is there a public comment?
Mm-hmm.
Article 2, okay, staff, CATSE, is there a public comment? Or rather than even do that, just ask the public commenter, raise your hand if you have a comment on a specific section, because it's far more efficient to hear from somebody like Ben when we're on that topic,
mm-hmm.
rather than us go through the whole thing and then like, all right, Ben, what's your list? Mm-hmm. And then we're going back through the document.
There's probably some workshopping on process that we could come up with here.
I think, so my recommendation would be for an issue where there is more staff information to be shared, that it does more closely follow the public hearing process, where there's a staff presentation, there's questions of staff, and then there's the call for public comment. So we can think about how we can leave that a bit flexible, but put some more definition to what that looks like. And then the other thing that this kind of brought to mind for me, I did see on several of the other commissions pages, they had kind of a run of meeting list, and I think that could be another place where that could be defined, because we do have a typical agenda we're following for any given evening. So
I agree, because we want to, you know, we don't want to make it look like an add-on at the end. Oh yeah, we're supposed to listen to you, so we're going to be part of the discussion.
Also, we could probably help ourselves out a certain amount just by including on the system sign-in sheet a quick spot where they can literally write in the number of
what
the agenda item that they're commenting on, if that is what they are doing, so that at least we know if they're going to be on an agenda or typical item. That also gives me, as the chair, an opportunity, if there's a bunch of people that are going to be commenting on it, I may just do a quick check to see, not necessarily the content of what their comment is, as I don't want to pollute the public comment, but at least have an idea of what the general topic would be so that I can facilitate the best time as to when to incorporate them.
So Article 11, as it stands, we are actually proposing to remove this section.
Sorry. I had a couple other things Article 10. But I guess, and I have some things on the remaining articles, so are we plowing ahead and the meeting is going to run?
I was actually going to ask Cassie and staff. I can call the meeting here when we wrap up Article 10 and we get up mostly on time. I do suspect that if we were willing to stay about 15 minutes, that we would be able to get through the remaining three articles based on their contents.
I don't think someone needs to make a motion to extend the meeting, take a vote, and then extend the meeting.
I move that we extend the meeting to no later than 7:30.
I will second that motion.
Good.
All right. And I will take advantage of the consensus that we don't actually have to take a formal vote.
Okay, so I guess what we were just talking about, the public speakers and what they're talking about. So in the second paragraph of Article 10, I feel like we could delete, clarify. So the first sentence, and I feel like the way this was handled at this meeting was perfect. Are you here for an agenda item or a different topic? Different topic, agenda item. And so asking that at the beginning of the meeting, and then the third line of the second paragraph, when the person's introducing themselves, followed by the agenda item for which they wish to provide comments, I feel like you don't need that, because if you've identified at the beginning of the meeting, either through the handout or through, are you here for, you know, your own topic or a topic, I feel like we don't need followed by the agenda item for which they wish to provide comments, because we've probably already covered that. Go ahead.
Well, it seems that, you know, if we had three different agenda items, mm-hmm. you don't want to wait until you're done with all three. So you need to know which agenda item they want to speak about.
Understood.
So I think it reads okay. Mm-hmm. Like we usually have just one item. But if we had multiple items, this is where, Kenneth, you said, you know, you don't want to box yourself in. You know, if you say wait till the end of all the agenda items, well, you've already voted on the thing that they wanted to talk about. So you want to know what agenda item they want to speak about.
So could this be reworded so that at the beginning of the meeting, any public comment is identified? Because at the beginning of the meeting, we don't need people to introduce their name.
I think we're okay with current process, because if we go with the call order agenda minutes, those are procedural, and then immediately and public comment is almost always item number 4. It offers that opportunity to check to see what the commenters are commenting on, and either get the non-specific comments out of the way or to get them assigned to the appropriate item at that time. So I think that's already handled with the way that we run things currently.
I feel like we ran it well and have
that part anyway, but the sequencing is just a bit off the way it's written.
I'd be willing to bet that that's all covered in Robert's Rules of Order.
It's probably true.
I also
haven't read
think
it
if we update
sometime.
The sign-in sheet, that will address it too.
That will help.
So if we update the sign-in sheet and say agenda item or not, like we can ask to identify which agenda item you are speaking on that, and then the chair will have that information.
I was in an honor society, and we had to actually know Robert's Rule, but that was some time ago. But what I can tell you is that this agenda is pretty much straight out of Robert's Rules.
Yeah.
They're not just rules for how to talk; it's also rules for how the structure or the meeting is structured. Oh God, that was too long ago.
And I have another in the middle of that paragraph. The commission may choose to provide an extension of time for speakers, is the majority, blah, 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 blah. That's a very wordy of saying, it seems like you could say that more simply by saying something like, the commission may vote to extend time for speakers, period.
Yeah, though I do believe it is important to maintain the context that any time that they spend taking questions from commissions do not count against their allotted 5 minutes.
I'm done with Article 10, thank you.
I believe I am as well.
Okay. So, Article 11, staff is proposing to remove that article for a couple reasons. The first being that we are hopeful that the changes in Chapter 5 will further define the commission's participation in committees. That you may be asked to serve on by either council or the director. And then the other element of that is the ethics and public meeting laws that were mentioned earlier. And the decision has been made that any like subcommittees need to be staffed as public meetings, which is
costly.
A resource constraint for staff.
Is it worth keeping this article in order to quote whatever the final wording is in Chapter 5, saying that CATSE members may be asked to participate in other committees?
Yeah, I think if we want to keep it, that's the way to do it, is to just make it mirror what is in the SRC.
But it's in Chapter 5,
I think,
so you don't really need it in bylaws.
That's what, that was part of our edits here, was trying to, if it's codified in Chapter 5, then, and it's not.
And there's not any additional details to provide in the bylaws.
And speaking, as you were mentioning earlier, kind of specifics to the operations of the the commission. So that was the conversation.
Yeah, if there's not a possibility of any CATSE committees, I agree, and the section's probably not needed. Subcommittees, rather.
Okay.
Article 11.
So for attendance of members, this is where I think updating the agenda to track unexcused and excused could be helpful. We have updated this to reflect the bi-monthly meeting schedule, so we thought that it was maybe a bit strict when we were calling out some of the numbers, but only meeting potentially 6 times per year. So I'm just trying to reflect how we're currently operating, and then defining unexcused absence as when staff was not notified.
Any comments from the committee on this one?
Will staff be tracking this?
That's where I think it's a good addition to the agenda to have that documentation.
To the minutes.
Yes, thank you. Sorry. Yes.
Okay.
If I had, this is one I will probably ask CATSE's opinion on. A thought that I had is it might be appropriate to specify that it would be 75% of regular meetings. Special meetings, that the notice is not always very large, the notice is not always very substantial, and the timing doesn't necessarily adhere to our normal schedules, so those can be harder for us to make. Although I suppose that keeping that as unexcused absences might still be best. It's why I'm asking. Because unexcused, we should still be notifying if we can't make a regular meeting.
You can't make any meeting.
Yeah.
We should be.
And I would suggest that it says, you know, of the meeting schedule within any. So if we schedule a meeting, even a special one,
mm-hmm.
you really do have a responsibility to say, I can't make it.
Yep.
It's short notice. I got work. That excuses you.
Yep.
If you just don't show up, that's unexcused.
Yeah.
So it really falls on the CATC member to call us, send us an email, reply. I can make it. I can't make it. And, you know, if you're excused for whatever reason, it's fine. But if you just don't send us anything, then it's unexcused, and we can track that. And I think it should, in my opinion, I know it's your bylaws, but it's of the scheduled meetings, and if we scheduled a meeting, even if it's a special meeting, you need to show up. That's why we're having a special meeting.
I also more or less talked myself out of
yeah.
my own proposal as well.
Understood.
As I believe that it being unexcused is important. I may have made a joke about not attending the last one. I did, however, send staff an email noticing that I would not be there.
So thank you.
Yes. Any other comments on?
So you get a smiley face. As
I
opposed
excuse,
to a frowny face.
I get an excused absence, which I still find unfortunate because I denied quorum, which wasn't great. Actually, that does bring up another point,
yeah,
which
is. We had quorum last time.
Did you?
We had three.
Oh, right, because our quorum
it was the
tiny.
Previous one that we didn't have quorum.
It might also.
Or the previous. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't want to derail us, but it also might be worth, if you are absent too many times denying quorum, excused or otherwise, that might also be a problem.
I think that's an unfair burden. If somebody's excused, it's.
But if you're, that could also be an indication that your schedule's not compatible with this particular committee's schedule, then you should consider a different committee.
I guess the challenge would, another potential challenge is that if we don't have a quorum, there is more than one, like there are multiple people absent. So,
right.
How,
and,
we can't
and,
attribute.
And I would say that if we don't have a quorum, and this is why you need to let us know, we would cancel the meeting.
Yeah.
And so, The problem is if we don't get a notice from anybody,
mm-hmm.
we're here, we're waiting,
yeah.
and we get two out of
and
six.
And some of us are here.
Yeah, and we get two out of six, we can't hold a meeting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if you respond that you're going to make it or not, and things come up, you know, life happens, and, you know, the dog got sick or, you know, something, you got a flat tire on your bike, you don't have a spare. Whatever it is,
this
you know,
isn't necessarily an issue to address in the bylaws. It's just something that I'm noting. There have been more than a few cases, particularly when we had a larger membership, where we've wanted quorum and it's taken us a few meetings to gather quorum together. So that can be a frustrating issue if we have items we want to move forward on.
I guess maybe.
That's a
maybe
question,
maybe a point is that a large number of excused absences is a potential problem.
Yes.
Even though they're officially allowed and they don't get you kicked out, it's a problem if someone is consistently having excused absences, which contributes to not having quorum or only having three.
Just not
only having three people.
Just not coming. I mean, at some point, it isn't about the quorum at all. It's just not coming.
And we've had members that signed up and then never showed up, and pretty soon they just disappeared, you know. And that's, but we worked around it. While I understand, Chair, what you're saying, unexcused absences, repetitive. I think that's a lot to put.
Oh,
in.
I'm not asking for
okay.
a revision.
Thank
I'm
you.
Just agreeing with
okay.
the chair's
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
That,
at some point
that unexcused absences
somehow.
Or excused
even
absences.
Excused absences.
If they're frequent by one person, are a problem, but I agree it's not something we,
okay.
you know,
no, I think
should say in here.
It's more a note for staff and perhaps also for
I
the chair.
I was going to say, I think that's something that if we were consistently noticing someone was not, we would check in with them and say, are
yep.
you
really,
if, are you wanting
okay?
to continue or, you know, what is the issue?
All right.
So, yes. to be addressed outside of the bylaws.
Perfect. Any other notes on Article 11? All right, moving on to 12.
So 12, again, is, I think there were only minor edits to this for consistency with how we were referring to other in Chapter 5 and throughout the document.
Any comments from the committee?
I have one in the very last line of the page. I am looking for clarification about what a personal interest is in the outcome. Transportation and specifically bike ped safety is a personal interest of mine. So what do I not vote at all ever because I'm interested in my own safety and Beth's and Ben's and people who walk? I think what's intended is that the member has a financial property or employment interest. Mm-hmm. Personal interest is like, I like to knit. Well, I like to ride a bike.
I do also wonder if a personal interest that would be considered proper, for instance, if you are voting on whether or not a stop sign on your block will remain or not remain, mm-hmm. would that be advised to recuse yourself as well? That's also not clear to me from this article.
I would
so
not,
what is a level of interest?
I would not want to recuse myself from a vote on something in my neighborhood.
But what about on your block?
On my block, because it's all I'm doing is trying to save my skin. I'm not earning any money or fame or employment or property or financial gain. And that's often how the interest, when you should recuse yourself, that's often how it's defined. And
so
that's already covered in the ORS.
So I think maybe Kara can find some clarifying language
for that.
About
yeah.
that.
Great.
Because
yep.
we're not gonna be able to wordsmith it here.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I made a note for
I stated my request
and clarification that and,
well, and
confirmation with legal.
Kara, I will also further ask, is this going to be different than what's in ORS? Because if it's what's already covered in standard ethics law, it may not need to be here at all.
That's the note I want to confirm with legal.
Yeah.
So
and we have it right there.
Yeah, we'll ask that.
I guess my only other note is one thing I'm used to seeing here that I didn't see is ORS Chapter 44 or other applicable codes and regulations, just as your generic catch-all. I just usually expect to see that in this kind of thing.
Well, it says including provisions of.
Oh, applicable. I just have to see it first. I'm sorry. I'm used to seeing it listed afterwards because I'm sorry about that. That's my mistake. Any other comments that are germane and correct? And Article 13.
So Article 13 is clarifying language and then adding review by the legal department to the process. So the bylaws, everything contained here could be updated by the commission at any time with the majority vote. We are just building in that staff would take that to legal following that vote.
Comments from Catsy?
I guess, is there a reason that the term rules and regulations is used? Because those aren't words that are elsewhere in the bylaws. I wonder if you could start it by just saying these bylaws,
yes.
except for those established by charter or ordinance. Rules and regulations sounds odd.
Yep.
I'm curious if there's a thought that there needs to be a little bit more granularity on whether or not CATC would, say, for instance, first approve a amendment in principle and then request that language be drafted, reviewed by legal, and then have it and then approve the language at a subsequent meeting, or if really that's getting a little bit too into the weeds and that's just how such things would normally occur.
Yeah. I think that's too much into the weeds.
Or I have a tiny wordsmith that might fix that. May be amended at any regular meeting of the commission by a majority vote after the proposed revisions are reviewed by City of Salem Legal Department.
I think, and that mirrors what we're doing here. So we are having this conversation with you. We will get these reviewed and they will come back to you for vote. So I think that would reflect what's happening with this update.
I guess just being more specific about what they is.
Yeah.
After okay. They are reviewed, after the proposed revisions are reviewed.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I do believe that that is it. So, failing any further comments, I will adjourn this meeting.
Do we have another agenda item 6?
Yes, the agenda item 6, items for commission discussion. I assume that this is some additional items for us to check on whether or not we want to have. I suppose I'll just ask staff. Item 6, please.
I think if there's anything from you all that you have for discussion.
Since we're running late, I myself will choose not to disclose any.
I have a question. It does not need to be worked out tonight, but just whether the application to serve on CATSE can be updated. I think most of the application is the same questions that everybody answers. What ward are you in, and have you served on things, and have you been to things? But there's specifically a question, briefly describe your experience in transportation planning or traffic engineering. And that's a very intimidating question for the public.
I'm happy to answer it, but I'm also an engineer, so that's a little bit unfair.
Because there may be, and there are people who are interested and have things to contribute who do not specifically have capital T, capital P, transportation planning, or traffic engineering experience. So I would love for that question to be broadened to include transportation.
Let's eliminate the jargon.
Just fix it, please.
I think, also just based on some of the changes we made to SRC about the interest in transportation, that the question might need updating it to reflect that.
Great.
Might better align with what
Great.
The revisions are.
Well, it'd be interesting to know if they have those things. Maybe
sure.
They would just
I think
volunteer
they would tell
that
us
anyway.
If they have them,
volunteer
they would tell
it
us.
In,
yes.
in
yeah.
more general
If
you
question.
Ask for transportation-related interest or experience, someone will say, yes.
I drive a car.
I'm a transportation planner.
I walk.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Or I'm a traffic engineer.
I know
somebody
that
does sort of present a
some
of my best friends are.
I know someone that owns a car.
We'll make that question align with the changes we made to Chapter 5.
Great.
We will coordinate with the city recorder's office to do that because they are the ones handling the application and review process.
All right. Well, then, unless there are other items for discussion, I will. Yes.
Can I just quickly? So the plan for next meeting will be that we bring that you are proposed revisions based on your comments tonight for the bylaws and the legal review of the Chapter 5 will be included in your packet prior to the meeting. And we will make it an agenda item and I think the discussion will need to be around, are we comfortable as is, or that we could amend those with minor revisions to move them forward in the process, because we would also like to present on the work that Eric's been doing on our downtown signal timing study, and we'll want to leave a majority of the meeting to share that with you. So just know those will come back to you. If there's consensus that the revisions are in a good place and there's maybe minor edits that we could adopt through that process will do that. If the consensus from the commission is there's need further discussion, then we will ask that that happen at the following meeting to allow us time to share with you on the downtown signal timing before we move to finalizing that for implementation.
Well, hopefully either Cheryl or myself, preferably both of us, will be at that meeting, and we'll keep that in mind for whichever one of us is chairing it so that we don't lose you all your time.
Is it possible to redefine CATSE's meeting time as ending at as late as 7:30 when needed, like as a default?
I mean, we have the motion available whenever we wish it.
I mean, you could say, you know, the meeting dates and time at the first meeting. You could make a motion to say we want CATSE to go from 6 to 7:30.
It's true.
And then if the meeting's done at 6, you're
okay, 7
or 6:35, then it ends. So
actually, I think I will actually request that motion. I generally have found that we are struggling to be done at 7.
Yeah.
Apologize to staff for the extra half hour.
But it's the most efficient way to add time rather than being forced to add additional meetings.
Well,
we're all here.
I solicit the motion.
I move that CATSE's standard meeting time be changed to 6 to no later than 7:30.
I believe consensus is yes.
Yes.
Adopted. Then, with that being covered, I will call us adjourned at 7:29. Goodness.
Nope. All right.